This program is brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you like what you hear and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.
Listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. I'm William English, and today's guest is Dan R. Wilson.
Hello.
Hello, Dan. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for inviting me.
And you are going to present or explain, describe mod music.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be doing any of those things because
I'm wrong already.
Well, sorry, no, I didn't mean that. I'll try to explain it as best I can.
Yes.
I'd rather present a more offbeat approach to mod music whilst at the same time hopefully appeasing people that don't know what mod music is. I don't want to, there's people out there that would be going, oh, mod music, chiptune, tracking music, music with computers. They know all about that. They know the history of it. And hopefully this, I can present something that's a bit offbeat that they won't necessarily have heard before.
Okay. And it's M-O-D, capital M-O-D?
Yep, capital, usually in caps. And it's also not heard much anymore because, in fact, the file formats have changed slightly over the years. It originally comes from the term module, which is an encapsulated file which contains all the data needed to execute this piece of music, which we can talk about more.
You can talk about more, because I know absolutely nothing about this whatsoever. I'm going to have to try and glean some information from you about this. You've brought in what appears to be a very dated piece of equipment, even to my mind, it looks like. What is this exactly?
It's just a really old laptop I found in a bin. It's missing a few keys. It's of the perfect vintage to run the software needed to actually. I lie, because actually the software is notoriously demanding for certain specifics, and actually I've had to kind of compromise by adapting the computer slightly. It's just an early 2000s or late 90s laptop.
Right.
They did make them nicely in these days. There's lots of plugs on it.
Nobody would use such a thing anymore, would they, apart from...
They might do if they were doing mod music and they needed access to a program like Impulse Tracker, for instance, or actually maybe an emulator could run that now. But it's nice to be authentic and anyway, it's cheap. I just bought it so I wouldn't get mugged on the train.
Well, you might get mugged by a mugger who didn't know about technology. But what is it? It's a Dell, isn't it? It's a Dell computer, laptop computer.
Yeah.
Which I presume is probably considerably heavier than... Is that the case with computers these days? Are the heavy, bulky ones sturdier than the modern ones? You know, in the way, like cars and everything else, have they become less reliable as a, you know, or something?
I don't know. I just find that they seem, it's difficult to tell, because this one's working, so you could say they last longer, but then I don't know how many have been thrown away that weren't working, so it's difficult to judge whether that holds true. In fact, the longer this is on, the more I'm worried it might just destroy itself and explode.
So the software and the hardware, all of that is presumably incompatible with modern computers. You can't, are there things that you can play on that you can't play on a modern computer?
Modern computers can be emulated to a certain degree, which I could talk about a bit later. There's things like DOSBox on the Mac and modern PCs which can run MS-DOS programs, which cover a lot of the software that I'll be talking about. And you could even run Amiga, Commodore Amiga emulators on modern computers up to the same speed as an Amiga.
Right.
But I just bought this. The reason I bought this is just to demonstrate to you the essence of mod music. So rather than explaining it, I can have you participate in its creation.
Right.
There's a particularly iconic piece of mod music which is well known to mod music aficionados. They'd recognize it instantly, and you would recognize it too. It's a famous piece of music. It just happens that it was kind of adapted for mod use. And
right. And
all the samples from this piece of music, which are the instruments, have been removed, and you will now provide the instruments.
Okay.
Via a cheap microphone.
Do I need to bring up this, whatever it is you, do I bring this up now?
You could, you don't have to do it yet, but
no. Okay.
I need three samples from you.
I'm in your hands, just tell me what to do.
I'm
going to pick up this minute, it almost looks like one of those tie microphones.
It's like
you
a
clip
lapel.
Onto a tie, lapel?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
A lapel mic, yeah. But just speak directly into it and say something like wavelength or an invocation, a short word. You only get a few seconds of sample time to make these recordings. So
right, I'm completely thrown now. I had three words and now I've forgotten them. Okay, is it mod?
Yeah, but you have to speak right into that mic because it's such a cheap thing.
Okay, mod, Jabberwocky, wavelength.
You could do something a bit more upbeat, an exclamation of joy,
That's difficult for me.
Imagine you're on a roller coaster and you're just going over the...
Woo.
Okay.
Yippee.
I've stopped now. You've got a limited amount of time sampling this stuff.
Why?
Because sampling in these days was so... You had to keep the size of the modules very small to fit on a floppy disk.
Right.
The modules would contain sample data as well as the composition data all in one file.
What would this be used for originally, before it was adapted by musicians or sound artists?
It was originally for the music for computer games.
Ah.
And you'd have, a programmer. The software didn't exist. You had programmers and masters of the craft like... they'd compose with SID music, which isn't technically mod music. It's chip music, which is music made using the chip of the computer, which is basically quite a versatile synthesizer, a Commodore 64. And you've people like Rob Hubbard, Ben DeGleish, Wally Beeben. These were all the masters of the craft, and they'd really push the chip to the limits to create pieces of music, four-channel pieces of music, sometimes using software they had to program themselves up from machine code level just to be able to get the notes in.
So you're saying that they would have been used for video games?
Yes.
So they're composed for video games?
Yeah. Yeah.
And are they supposed to therefore sound a bit machine-like? It's supposed to sound like it's generated by the machine rather than by a musician.
Yeah, that's one of the defining features of mod music. Although, as hopefully I'll be able to play you some pieces that try to push beyond that and try to aim at more naturalistic things. One of the ways that mod music improves upon chip music, well, actually, that's a contentious point, because mod music and chip music sometimes can be at loggerheads. Purists would say that mod music is actually some fraudulent version where you can actually ape a waveform, a SID waveform, a computer waveform, and use samples instead. So you can actually masquerade as other things. You could sample electric guitars and make a piece of rock music in mod music, which would sound sometimes plausible. But in the meantime, I need to edit your sound. So let's see if you pull up the channel, you can hear me cut and place your recorded voice.
Mod.
So that's you saying mod, and I'm going to place that in one of the sample banks. So that goes here, and you'll see that now I can actually go
mod. Mod.
So you've got a kind of control over that. That becomes a note for the song.
Mod.
I'll put that in place. And then there's...
Jabberwocky.
Jabberwocky. So we'll take that. Actually, what was the exclamation?
Woo.
So I'll take
Sounds
that.
Sounds a bit feeble, I'm afraid.
So that would be placed in here. Sorry, actually, this is taking longer than I
That's
thought.
Right.
This isn't
okay.
particularly engaging for listeners. But well, then
there's a degree of expectation and suspense building up.
Yeah, hopefully it would be worth it when you hear the results, which are ready now. So we could sit back now and listen to the
Jabberwocky
results. So here we go.
Mod,
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 mod, mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
Jabberwocky,
mod,
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 mod, mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
Jabberwocky,
mod,
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 mod, Jabberwocky,
mod,
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 mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod, mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
mod,
mod,
mod, mod,
mod,
Amazing. So now I'm a recording artist.
Yes. No. That was.
So how much of that was, is that preordained, as it were? You just kind of set up, or were you actually creating?
It was a preordained piece. You were placed in a framework of a piece of music I adapted. It's actually a famous mods piece that you recognise. It's actually a version of Axel F, which is a synth pop instrumental soundtrack from the 1980s Eddie Murphy film Beverly Hills Cop.
Right.
And many originally it was composed by German composer Harald Faltermeyer, and some mod musicians began doing mod versions of this song. And actually, I don't have the original here. Oh no, I do. So I could play you how it should sound usually. I'd play the first few seconds of it,
okay,
if this is appropriate.
It was. I sort of recognised the tune at the beginning.
Oh no! Well, it goes like this.
Right. Right, exactly. So then my me saying mod was going mod,
yes.
mod, yeah. Like that. So you create a sort of template then of sorts.
Yeah, so...
So whatever you insert is just... Does the machine just do it itself? You're not modifying it as such.
I've had to modify the module slightly. This is actually an adapted version of Alistair Brimble's version of Axel F, which came with ProTracker, or it did. Well, it's associated with the mod program ProTracker on the Amiga, Commodore Amiga 500. Right. A CU Amiga magazine cover disc in 1991. Pack these two together, right. But I'm sure that the associations go back to the bulletin board days when it was used as an example piece of music, like early internet people would kind of use that as an example module to understand tracking in itself. So it became associated with ProTracker, but there's other the Metallica cover versions were also used, and the themed there's a few other pieces of music, but Axel F, that particular piece, is an iconic piece of mod fluff, really, that
really?
Was okay. used as a kind of just intro to you've got ProTracker, you've got the software, and you just load in this piece of example music, and that was
if we did it again now with three different words, would it be exactly the same? Basically the template would create exactly the same thing
But with different words.
So it'd be the same piece of music with different words.
Yeah. You could even sing a note, and you'd have a more melodic. You'd have something that people would more easily recognise as Axel F. But the mod itself, when you actually take the word mod and play it at different pitches, the human ear does actually. You can hear where the notes. You can hear it being turned into a musical note, and you can hear the intervals between.
The way it ended with the word Jabberwocky, sort of like slowing down.
That was me. That was actually an adaptation, but I decided to time stretch something at the end there.
Okay.
I had no idea of what you'd say, so I knew that it was time stretching something, but it was time stretching an empty sample bank. Okay. So when the sample bank was then populated with you saying Jabberwocky, then the sample could scroll through that. At a speed. That's one of the tricks mod musicians sometimes use at its early time stretching, which is where you can extend the length of a sound without compromising the pitch by triggering it at different points. And this bit is made the mod modus operandi more amenable to breakbeat artists, because it means you could trigger a drum loop at different times and then create drums that go if you've sampled a whole drum loop, you could trigger it trigger at the snare point or the bass point.
Okay.
So but
so when you say mod musicians, so it was this a genre for a while, a genre of music that existed briefly, or when did it start?
Well, SID music and chip music relies only on the synthesizer capabilities of the computer. It references its own wavetable of sine waves, and it generates its own waveforms. And there's other forms of pre-mod music which use a common pool of a sample bank, a wavetable that can be accessed independently. But the mod music, which came about really... ProTracker really made it popular, but it had previous versions. There was Noise Tracker and Sound Tracker, programmed by Europeans. It's very Eurocentric movement, and the programmers would often be musicians themselves, and the idea was that all the samples would be interlocked within the file. They'd be embedded within the file. So if you opened a piece of mod file, you'd see all the samples that were used. So for instance, in this version of Axel F I've got here, I can go through and listen to all the samples and even export them. So I've got this, the main note. There's all the drums. That's all there is. And those, you can then export those and then make another piece of music from that. Or you can mix one sample with a completely different sample. Then you can, for instance, in things I've composed, I've recorded my own sounds from tin cans and biscuit tins. That's an example there. But I'm going to stop because I don't want to play any of my own music too much.
But those are recorded sounds. Those are not created by the chip?
No, mod music is all sampled sounds. So even when you've got sounds that are created by the chip, it would only be a sample of that sound created by the chip. So mod music is entirely dependent on the samples that you provide it with. So to begin with, you can't compose music without having a sample to begin with. So you need to begin with one sample. It could be the word mod, could be something else.
So it's not strictly, when you start to be really pedantic about it, is it computer generated music?
Because you have to compose it. You have to work quite hard as well on building up these things. Yeah. And it's quite difficult to get different time signatures because you can really tell. It's kind of forced, mostly it's in 4/4, but there are people that have pushed the limits and gone to different time signatures, but you're kind of left over from the computer programming legacy is the fact that the most mod programs are in hexadecimal, which is what machine programmers use, a numerical system, which is so in 16.
Is this a natural progression from, I don't really know that much about from the computer musicians of say the 70s and
I don't think there's any lineage there though, because it's almost as if there's a point where mod was seen as a bit infradig, if that's a good word. It's a bit
I imagine it would have been a bit considered almost people would have regarded it contemptuously, perhaps serious musicians. It sounds like it's evolved out of games and
games,
and that almost amusement arcade type situation.
They'd be running a similar type system of sample bank music, but there are some breakout musicians like Urban Shakedown and drum and bass music. They're quite underground musicians in the 90s that would use this software to create commercially available things, but it never really went mainstream until the whole chip music boom in the early 2000s, and that was chip music. That wasn't actually mod music. Mod music has yet to have its revival, really, because there are some musicians that are toying with albums made entirely on Octamed and Pro Tracker.
Would any of it have become listened to on the radio or anything? I mean, was it sort of
I do just remember in the 90s there was one musician, I can't remember his name, and it was introduced almost disparagingly, though, saying it was on Radio 2 or Radio 1, and the announcer would say this was made in his bedroom. It's like bedroom musicians, and which is a kind of it's a bit, I mean, these are quite high powered pieces of software, and it took a while for people. I mean, you've got on the desk there the Future Music CD from 1998, which is very late, and it's a real coup.
You're saying that's late for this?
Yeah. But by then,
when did it start? Do you think
early 90s, late 80s?
'80s. Yeah. Wow.
Well, okay. I'd say probably early 90s when cover discs like CU Amiga magazines began placing those software on cover discs, because before then it would be available on like bulletin board systems and dial up modem systems, which most people didn't have. But when magazines started putting that software on cover discs, that's when you had like people beginning to seize upon this and say, I can make music with this. And it's unlike any other piece of music software. It's more like a programming tool. It scrolls vertically. They all scroll vertically. And by 1998, they were the second generation of tracking programs, which used different file formats. They'd save in different formats like XM, S3M, and these would be Fast Tracker 2 and Scream Tracker and Impulse Tracker. And they'd all use the same template as mod trackers, although the name mod music just kind of stuck, even though they're made with more sophisticated.
So this one you're showing me, or the one I'm holding in my hand, is described as virtual beats. It says here how the Roland V-drums.
No, that's the cover. They've almost secreted the mods away shamefully on the back.
I'm turning it over now. I see. So there's different sections. There's like different chapters to this thing.
Yeah, it's a CD.
Chapter 4 is called Mod Music. Tracker tracks from the net.
Yeah, they've just downloaded some tracks from the net. Compare that to the previous tracks on the CD, which are credited to artists and musicians.
Yeah.
And they've downloaded some mod music. And on the tracks, they haven't even specified who composed the music, which is a good indicator of how underground mod was considered, that they didn't even deign to state the artists' names or their groups on the CD, which I thought was an interesting artifact.
When we exchanged emails about this, you drew my attention, interestingly, to a link which took us to an article by Malcolm McLaren.
That was quite interesting. He was talking about chip music and SID music.
Yeah, but in 2003.
Yeah, yeah.
Which presumably is very late.
That's very, very late. He did an article for the Wired magazine and for the Guardian, actually, the Guardian newspaper.
Right.
And
so it's like he'd discovered it at that point.
Yeah.
And thought he'd sort of struck gold with this. Perhaps.
Yeah, he was seizing upon this. He seems like someone that's very anxious to follow whatever's cool and subversive. And you can say that mod and SID music was quite subversive. It was using hacked equipment, often obsolete equipment, and really trying to make it do things that it wouldn't necessarily do. But these virtuosic acts of programming and things, I'd like to dwell more on the more offbeat things, because that's spoken about quite frequently in mod histories. People like Lizard King, Basshead, there's all these Necros, these are all like big names. In fact, of the complainees of Malcolm McLaren's thing was Gareth Morris, I think, who records under the name Gwem, and he was very scathing of Malcolm McLaren seizing on this chip music thing. He was actually he performs and he programs his own software to make the music.
Is it a UK thing or American?
It's mainly European, and it's spread worldwide. It went
Gwem, where did they come from?
Gwem is UK based, I think. Gareth Morris is UK based, but he performs all over the world, and he did draw Malcolm McLaren's attention to, look, before you seized on this, there was an established community of people tracking, and we don't need you to kind of wave the flag and say, look at this. But this is slightly different. I mean, if you'd like, I can play you some of the more sophisticated end of SID's music, which isn't mod music. This is pre-mod. But actually, to complicate things, this was composed in 2011. So this is kind of SID.
Now I'm confused.
No, but using vintage software. Right. So it's almost like composing in hindsight. This could be played on a Commodore 64.
Yeah.
It's by an artist called Jammer. And you'll find it on track 9 of the CDR that I burnt for you earlier.
I've got to wake up the CD player. Keep.
Okay, I had to burn it onto CD because some mod music, I had to filter out, do a high pass filter, because some of it contains dangerous like DC levels of frequency that which are below the threshold of human hearing, could damage speakers. So I kind of filtered out some of the more.
Should we play this now?
If you like, yeah.
The wrong track.
That's the wrong track. That's mine, actually. That's a disgrace. This is that's me.
That was you.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, and that's nothing like what I'm about to play. Track 9 is a technically piece of wizardry, really, using vintage SID technology. Thank you.
An author?
That does. That was Jamma, aka what's his name? Kamil Wolnikowski.
Okay.
And he is a modern Sid musician, and that he's using vintage software. So he's setting himself extreme limitations, and he's really created something quite amazing from technology that's from the mid 80s, really. Without any modern intervention, additions. He's using purely vintage equipment to make.
So how a track such as that is it released as such? I mean, does it kind of would one listen to it or hear it or get it?
Well, it would be. That's part of the High Voltage Sid Collection, which is a kind of group of. I wouldn't say historians, but Preservation Society of Sid musicians and enthusiasts. And also, a lot of this music is associated with a movement called the demo scene. And there was a book, it's not very well documented, but there is a book by a very eccentric guy, Tamás Polgár, Freaks, who documented the brief history of the computer demo scene. It's basically a kind of one-upmanship of programmers and musicians who demonstrate their music at these parties, computer parties, where people would bring their computers and they'd show how brilliant programmers they are and how they could take advantage of all these kind of Easter eggs and strange byways.
Easter eggs,
like things that computers aren't necessarily superficially supposed to be doing, like the ways that you can make a filter from a process in a chip which wouldn't necessarily be used, or something that's in a chip, inherently in a chip, which is not used or unused, and someone, a programmer or hacker, has found out how to use that for something.
Right. And so have you attended these parties?
No, never. No, I've read about them when I was growing up, though. And in fact, I was going to play, in contrast to what you've just heard.
Yeah.
At some point in the 90s, I can't remember the details, but the BBC they were bandying about the alternate. They're making a new theme for the BBC quiz show Mastermind, and I can't remember if they were soliciting proposals for the new Mastermind theme. But I composed one anyway.
You composed one,
yeah, using mod music, and you can hear the difference. It's nowhere near as sophisticated as what you've just heard, but you can hear this is mod music because it uses samples of real musical instruments, and it even samples a piece of the Mastermind theme, the original Mastermind theme,
nice.
Which remains to this day. So
which track number is it?
This would be track number 11.
Okay, so should we play that now?
Yes, this is an alternative theme for Mastermind.
Thank you.
So that's your own composition, Dan?
Yes, I was a teenager when I did that, and that's
my
excuse.
When was that?
About 1996. In fact, this could lead on to the next track, because you might need, you could, I feel like I've kind of defecated in listeners' ears with that.
It's a bit strong.
I'm not proud of these things, but I thought these things are seldom heard. This is the thing about mod music that I find interesting, that it's contingent upon data preservation. For historians to study mod music is so crucial to be able to access these hidden byways, which aren't necessarily preserved by the people composing them. That almost got lost in a hard drive crash, and I wouldn't have preserved it if I hadn't accidentally copied the directory.
It has to be said, the ones we've played so far conform to the sort of 3-minute kind of...
Yeah, well, actually, I've tried my best. That's not always the case. Mod music is often very repetitive. Some of it's even designed to loop indefinitely. I can play you an example, actually. One of the interesting newer composers of mod music is an American animator and artist, Ben Cannon. Okay. And track 6 on the CD is a piece, probably, I think it's designed to accompany one of his claymation animations. It's called Dunbar Train. And you can really hear the guts of the mod archetype. It goes on forever. It's designed to just loop and continue indefinitely.
And so how would that be, what would be the application of this? Where would it play?
I'm not sure. I just thought I'd choose a rarity that hasn't been played before.
Does this defy convention by being endless?
No, that's quite common, actually. For computer games, it's quite... standard to have a mod that loops back on itself and just continues from the beginning, because the game can go on indefinitely.
Right.
With this piece that you just heard, the Ben Cannon piece, I believe that he uses those as soundtracks for his animations.
Right.
But that was a privately distributed thing that he personally sent me. So these are...
Okay.
I'm trying to choose things that aren't necessarily more widely heard. Although the exception would be that Jammer Sid track you just
said. So which ones are widely heard? What would be an example of
ornate piece by Jammer? It was actually called
the first one,
Broken Circuits, by Camille Wolnikowski. That's on the High Voltage Sid collection. So connoisseurs of Sid music would know. He's one of the best Sid musicians out there.
Right.
Who
would listen to it?
People with the software to play it, with Sid Play, and they would listen to it. There's a whole community out there of people that would listen to that.
But do they ever get together?
They do, yeah. I'm not involved with this, really, because that's chip music, really. I'm more interested in mod music, which uses samples, which is distinct from chip music. But
I'm getting the impression that people create it and then they would find it on the internet or somewhere, and they might listen to it through their computer, but it doesn't bring people physically together like a party, as you mentioned earlier, or a dance.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because there was an awareness of probably an inchoate awareness perhaps in the 90s, and for this reason many groups were formed. So for instance, I was active as a mod composer, and I had to form the group Duplo. which was supposedly included some school friends of mine, who I tried to inculcate into, try to introduce into tracking mod music. In practice, that didn't really work out, and I was the only active member. But then you had other people like Silky from Resonance, but not Resonance FM. It's just a, I was hoping to play one of his tracks actually, but I don't think we've got time. Okay. His ones went on for about 10 to 20 minutes. And you had other people that formed groups, like there's actually a track on the CD by a representative MG from Weird Magic, which is a group of people that compose together. And the idea is that this gives them a sense of togetherness and visibility on search engines. So pre-Google, you really had to cluster together and join web rings and kind of virtually cohere together to form these, to increase visibility. Otherwise, you're just flinging mods into the abyss, which is essentially what most people are doing. And that's why you need people. That's why I came on this show, really, to raise awareness of this history, which is in danger of being lost to hard drive crashes, server updates. I mean, Tracks in Space was a website which brought together many, many different mod musicians, and there were some fascinating forum threads on women mod composers, which are quite that's an interesting point, because many mod composers are men, and but there are women composers out there. And
do we have a woman track?
Well, I can't find them. I can't access the Tracks in Space.
Wouldn't you know it?
The Tracks in Space website's down. So that was the forum where things and it crashed. They lost everything. So this whole history now, this important record of like mod people talking, conversing, and talking about the scandals and various things of the time, the sample thefts and the conventions and, you know, all the drama of history has now been completely lost due to server crashes. And I've been scouring, looking for obscure bits of mods that people have forgotten, have sent to me by email and have never been uploaded. And it's a struggle, because the history is disappearing before our eyes. Maybe I can assist by playing a rarity which has never been preserved properly, which is, let me think. I could play my first ever mod attempt. It's not actually not a good choice. I'm trying to choose something short.
Okay.
Track 10. I would never usually distribute this, but I'd play it for the purpose of this show, to show something that's been discarded that I would delete in all other circumstances. But here you go.
Listening to Resonance on Resonance 104 Wavelength. You're listening to Wavelength, in fact, on Resonance 104.4 FM. And my guest this week is Dan Wilson, sound artist. And that was your composition, Dan.
Yeah, I was hoping not to play that, but
well, I'm glad you did. Is that quite eccentric by mod standards?
It's quite usually mod musicians would disguise the guts of the mod mechanism, the kind of weird interpolation and as you change sample pitches, you wouldn't do that. Actually, some mod musicians would record multiple notes of a piano just to give the impression of realism. Many mod musicians went for realism. In fact, you could end on one of the classic discovery, one of the people that actually recorded entire guitar riffs to create rock music in mod music, which is trying to force mod to do something which it's not designed to do, to create rock music, which is sampling electric guitars extensively.
In order for people to create these sorts of sounds, do you have to home in on a very particular era of computer software? I mean, does it relate specifically to a time?
Not really, because the actual.
How far back could you go to plunder the technology or software? You know, what's the earliest sort of? You couldn't go back to say a reel-to-reel tape recorder or something.
No, exactly. You can go back to the first commercially available tracker, which is Soundtracker, which was commercially released in 1987.
Okay.
So you could go back that far. But essentially, it hasn't changed that much. And the very latest piece of software to create modules and read modules in all the varieties of formats that have appeared over the years, from the first generation mods, Med Music, Med was an Octamed, and then there was XM and all the other ones that I mentioned. Right. This can be loaded into Renoise, which is a modern day super powerful tracker which can do effects like reverb and it does all the your classic mods things, and also does some very new things like plugins and things right. like that.
So there are hybrid sort of forms of this then. People are mixing old technology with new technology.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Blurring the distinctions.
I was hoping to focus today on tracks that we can really hear the what I call the essence of modness.
Okay.
The kind of samples.
And can purists hear it? If you were listening to a track, would you know?
Well, this is the thing about mod music. With chip music, which is made with the sound of a chip, you're limited to the sounds producible by that chip, and it sounds manifestly electronic. Most SID music sounds very similar in terms of timbre. With mod music, it's more chameleon-like. You can disguise the fact it's a mod by sampling different things. You can sample, like, electric guitars, a water glass going like that. You can sample springs. You can make it sound like, you can change the tempos. You can slow things down. You can do all kinds of strange things which would make it difficult to detect its mod music, because you've got recorded long loops in there. You've got synthesizer samples. You've got keyboards sampled. You can actually sample SID waveforms. So mods can be anything and it would be difficult for someone listening to say that's definitely mod.
You were saying earlier that some people or practitioners are extremely pedantic, and you were concerned that some.
No, I was joking. I was saying that if I got some facts wrong, I may be seized upon by this. There's a pathology of this. The software that's used to make this is extremely metrical. It's very 4/4. Put the numbers in, and a certain state of mind needs it kind of accuracy, and I was very aware that if I messed up a fact, someone might say, no, that's not true, that never happened,
right?
So I was very anxious to but actually I'm not really that keen to talk about mod history. We can talk about mod history on a mainstream level perhaps on another show, but I was hoping to look at the more offbeat and more manifestly mod sounding
things. It's an ongoing genre. Perhaps that's important to state, that although it started way back, it's an ongoing thing.
Yeah. In fact, that's one of the reasons why I couldn't really talk about it that much in the Alternative Histories of Electronic Music conference at the Science Museum in 2016. Instead, I gave a presentation on. I like researching alternative histories, or what I call actually fouled histories, which are episodic moments.
You say failed?
Fouled, yeah.
Or fouled?
Fouled.
Fouled histories.
Yeah. Okay. Fouled histories. Histories that have not succeeded in resonating into historical continua, into the timeline of history, into the mainstream canonical history as we know it, as in you know, the overground histories. Yeah. So the I had to present on the one of my favourite research topics, which I am in the process of still excavating, the electromusical apparatus of Johann Baptist Schalkenbach, a Prussian inventor composer in the music halls in the Victorian times. And I was hoping to originally do an alternative history of tracked music, sequenced music, mod music. But because it's not necessarily a history, it's concerns were raised that it's an ongoing thing. It's not had the distance of time to really unpick. And as I was saying, most of the history, some of it's lost. Lots of mod competitions happened over the years, and I certainly sent in some of my early tracks to mod competitions. The Symbiosis 97 competition, which was a Dutch group, Explicit, had organized that. And there were the Hornet competitions. And many of them, or some of the more obscure ones, have now been completely lost because people's hard drives crash. Nobody bothers to preserve this stuff.
Don't people back up?
Well, it's in those days, maybe it was seen as less necessary. I mean, it took a while for the backing up to become the mantra, really, for computers. But maybe these things were seen as a bit throwaway anyway. They're just like them. I think I consider them quite interesting manifestations of computer music.
Okay. So is it fair to say that this is grown out of sort of video game technology? And has it it's moved away from that, or does it feed back into it, or is that irrelevant now? It's all the same.
Well, I think computer games now, instead of using modules, they would actually have a recorded soundtrack rather than a file that just scrolls through and triggers sound effects. So that's not necessarily the thing that would be used now.
Although, so would they think this was too primitive now?
Yeah, I mean, it's not. There could be a musician that would use this to create an aesthetic which is now recognised as being computer game sounding, and then just record that, and that would be the recorded soundtrack. But certainly the actual file system, the actual computer game wouldn't be executing a scrolling mod file behind it. They'd be playing a recorded soundtrack, which would be more elaborate. But there have been attempts to subvert the kind of computer gaminess of this. And one of them, which I think I consider very important, is quite successful now, he's still ongoing, is Zach Oren. Track 14 is called Mosh Aerobics. And you have to consider, it just sounds like someone playing electric guitar over a drum machine, maybe now. But at the time, it was completely amazing because it was my first instance of coming across someone that sampled so much of his own material and placed it in a mod file, which was under 1 megabyte, so it could fit on a floppy disk. Mosh Aerobics by Zach Oren.
Yeah.
what's going on here, Dan? Because this might be a bit too subtle for me. Because
well, it's good. That shows how skilled Zach Oren is in creating this illusion that this is a passable piece of rock music. Mm. This is actually a mod piece of mod music that could fit on a 1.4 megabyte floppy disk. And there are clues if you listen carefully. The guitar is slightly crispy and crunchy, and that's a sign of its 8-bit origin. It's a sample, and the guitar is looped. There's lots of loops, but there's also some very long samples. I mean, you faded it down there just as the solo began. Yeah. The solo itself is lasts 30, 40 seconds, right, which is a long sample to use in a piece of mod. Or actually, technically, this is second generation mod. This is XM form. No, S3M, which is, he did this in Scream Tracker.
Yeah.
So this is Scream Tracker.
So this is by Zach Oren. It is O-H-R-E-N.
Yeah, he is actually well preserved in the mod community. You'd be able to find his other
modules.
And you
were saying something about he also did something with klezmer music?
Yeah. He was some mod musicians aren't necessarily musicians themselves, and they're experimenting in a very very intuitive way with the mod system. But this Zach Oren was a very skilled musician, and he amazingly subverted all the genres of tracking music and even did some klezmer pieces as well. He was a very versatile guy.
Okay. Well, we've got a couple of minutes left. What are we going to play out with?
You could play out with a piece I did to irritate and to antagonize track number 16, which is called To Be Played Into the Workplace.
Right. Who's this by?
Me.
Oh, is this by you?
Yeah.
I'm designed to irritate.
And antagonize. Well, more to antagonize, actually.
Antagonize who?
Well, actually, it's no more antagonistic. In Woolworths, there was a policy where you couldn't get out of having the music played in the store. Employees would be forced to listen to this constantly repetitive thing, and I thought that we could one step further is just to give an idea of the repetition and tape. One of my interests is in tape dropping, so I'd put this on cassette and give it to the manager.
All right, well, thank you very much to Dan Wilson for coming in today to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and talking about mod music. I think we've actually got plenty more material left, perhaps another programme sometime, Dan, but if we're going to play a bit of your track, this one, what's it called?
To Be Played Into the Workplace.
Experimental music and sound platform on.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you liked what you heard and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.